Thank you, Brian. Yeah, I was just hearing out in the foyer before church began here. I shouldn't say it that way, should I? What goes on in the foyer is the beginning of church, right? Yeah, that's when church starts. We should make that clear right away. But hearing the roles of how many were not going to be with us, how many were home today with various kinds of things. I'm at the tail end of a cold myself, so forgive me if I sound a little congested. But let's keep praying for one another and keep an eye out for each other, right? If you see somebody who's missing this morning, you might just take the opportunity to check up and make sure that they know that they're loved and that we miss them. Last week in the Pray Like This series, I hope you've enjoyed it. More importantly than that, I hope you have been prompted and convicted to pray. Maybe even more specifically, you've been wondering, how can I work the Lord's Prayer more regularly into my spiritual disciplines? And that's the direction I'd like to take you here on this last Sunday. Next week, we'll start a series in Philippians, Right Mind. People have asked me whether I was in my right mind. Maybe they've mentioned that to you as well. Well, we're gonna be in the right mind after we study Philippians, because we will be considering the mind of Christ in us, right? So look forward to that. We'll start Philippians. You might want to read it. It's really short letter. You can read that thing in one setting, you know? So you might start to familiarize yourself with that. If you do, you'll get much more out of our study together. So consider looking at Philippians as we'll be studying that, meditating on those words in the coming weeks. But let's finish up with Pray Like This. In 2018, the artist, songwriter, singer Hozier. Now, you might not be familiar with Hozier. I can't say that I'm terribly familiar with him either, but I have listened to his song and enjoyed his song entitled Nina Cried Power. Nina Cried Power. It probably have more appeal to the younger ones here in our congregation, of which I am one of. But Nina Cried Power, the music's good, I think, but I found the lyrics arresting. I found the lyrics absolutely arresting in this song. He sings, it's not the waking, it's the rising. It's not the song, it's the singing. And I think this song is about social justice and activism. The song includes allusions to a number of artists, a number of creative songwriters who have brought attention to injustice in our world, and notes those people as singing the song, as not just knowing that there is a value of justice, knowing that equality is not just a virtue or a value for our society, but singing about it, doing something, proclaiming it. If it was an essay, I think I'd have to raise my hand and say, I got a little different opinion, all right? If it was an essay, if we were reviewing some sort of paper to be submitted and we were going to challenge and talk about ideas, I'd say, now, wait a second, that sounds good, but without the waking, there is no rising. I would say, without the song, there is no singing. There's got to be some objectivity to this thing, or we're all just making noise. But that's just if it was an essay. It's a song, right? And as a song, I'll allow artistic license to a poet, because it was just that all or nothing line that caught my ear and made me reflect. It made me think. It made me think about the importance of implications and outcomes, about investments and actions. In the same way, we often say, and you have often heard, love is a verb, right? Love is a verb? Oh, we know what the message of that is. It's got to show some action into it. Well, it's a noun too. In fact, it may be a noun first before it can become a verb. But the phrase is turned to make us think, to make us think about it. It's not the waking, it's the rising. is just the call to action that I'd like to finish this series out with. By now, you're really familiar with the Lord's Prayer. You were familiar with the Lord's Prayer before we started this series. The words are so common to us. But I'd like to wrap up this series and say, it's not the waken, it's the rising. It's not the prayer, it is the praying in the end. It's not the prayer, it is the praying. I think I have the Lord's blessing with this because I remind you that Jesus said with utmost clarity in Matthew chapter 6, pray then like this, didn't he? Those seem like very simple words and they're easy to overlook, but what he said was, pray then. Like this. In other words, it wasn't memorize this just in case someone ever calls on you to say a prayer in public. All right? So you don't embarrass yourself. Jesus says to his disciples, memorize this. No, that wasn't it. It wasn't write this in calligraphy, decoupage it, whatever that is, and hang it on your wall. That's not what Jesus said. It's not artwork. Jesus didn't say, turn it into a song and sell it on Christian radio. All of those things are great, right? You should memorize it. I would be thrilled to see it up on your wall somewhere. There's nothing wrong with that. And we sing the songs, and they're good too. But that wasn't at the heart of it. Jesus said, pray then like this. That's what he said. It's not the prayer, it's the praying. Jesus said, pray. I want to give you four ways this morning that you might use this prayer. So this is really practical. We're not covering any new ground at all in the Lord's Prayer. We covered it from beginning to end. In fact, we took the prelude and the postlogue included as we went through the prayer, all right? So we've covered it, but I want to talk to you about how you might actually practically use it in your life this year and encourage you that it might make more difference than you can possibly imagine right now. Now, I can only say that guardedly because your prayer life might be way up in the stratosphere already, so then it might just be an incremental change. It might make a world of difference. It might make a world of difference in your relationship with the Lord this year. Imagine you get three wishes. What would you wish for? That's a familiar and popular icebreaker question, isn't it? It's kind of a good one because it's non-threatening. There's no wrong answer necessarily, and it helps you to get to know someone. They reveal something to you when they suggest what three wishes might be in their experience. It tells you something about what you think they might be missing. And what they hope for, but categorizing at a wish, it might seem like it's also a little bit out of reach. So you ask a question, tell me what three wishes you might ask for if you had the opportunity. And you get to know a little bit, you get a little bit of a glimpse into who those people are. Here's my question this morning as we get into this. Is the Lord's Prayer anywhere close to what you would ask if you knew your prayer would be answered? So we've studied each of the elements of the Lord's Prayer, and as you think through them with me right now, you, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and then you're just thinking through those things. Would that be on my list? Because Jesus said when you pray, pray this way, and he suggested these ideas. Would they be yours, or would your prayer list be entirely different than the one Jesus offered us to pray? First use I want to recommend is this one. Use the Lord's Prayer as a priority tutor. Use it as a priority tutor. Consider those categories that Jesus taught us to pray in, and then ask yourself, huh, you know what? None of those are on my list. Whoa. Better adjust. Better. None of those things come up on my list. And if someone asked me in a real casual circumstance, what do you wish for? They should have something to do with the things you're praying for. Am I wrong? And so you say, you know what? The things that I wish for in my life have nothing to do with the things that Jesus told me to pray for in my life. I got to reconsider. I need to reconsider. Is God's name becoming revered as holy your first instinct? What do you wish for? Hallowed be God's name. You know, would that be a just leap off your tongue? I wish God's name was revered, that people were devoted to God and they lifted up his name in praise and glory everywhere. That's what I wish for. Would that be your first instinct? Are you persuaded that nothing will ever be quite right in this world? So all of those things that are on your wish list, on your prayer, doesn't matter, that nothing would ever be quite right apart from Christ's headship and kingship? That the world just isn't going to be fixed without Christ's headship and kingship in this world? Would you really be satisfied by daily bread? Does that sound like meager rations? Do you believe that temptation is an urgent existential threat in your life? So much so that one of the things that would come off of your tongue, what are your three wishes? Well, keep me safe from temptation. Because you know it's critical. Because Jesus taught you it's a priority. The first thing here is use the Lord's Prayer as a priority tutor. Are these the only things to pray for? The things that Jesus mentioned? I am confident that they are not. Don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely confident that these things that Jesus mentioned are not the be-all, end-all list, okay? Feel free to ad lib. You see, there's no mention of thanksgiving in the prayer. You notice that? No mention of thanksgiving. There is no prayer, guys, there's no prayer for the spread of the gospel. I'm pointing at our missionaries here. There's no prayer for the spread of the gospel per se in the Lord's Prayer. No, this isn't everything. It's not an exhaustive prayer, but consider when Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer, they were the first things that came to his mind. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, and he immediately prayed this way. They must have been cherished things, cherished priorities for Jesus himself. Second use, use it to get out of your own head and into the Lord's. Second use, use it to get out of your own head and into the Lord. Sometimes you have a moment of objectivity. You're going through life, and in the circumstances of life, of course, they're always there, and some are positive and some are negative, and you're just kind of going with the flow, going with the current that's taking place in your life. And that current is not just the circumstances, but very often affects your emotions. It affects your choices. It affects your mood, and you're just kind of going with it. You're just going along. And you have this moment of objectivity when you kind of step out of yourself and you go, wait a minute, look at me. Look at me. I'm depressed. Look at me, I'm angry. Listen to my voice. Why am I talking to people like this? What is that? Where did that come from? And you know what I think that is? I think that's the Holy Spirit blowing in your face. You ever blow in the face of your baby crying because or your dog to get his attention, you know, and things change, right? I think sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives a little in your face and you go, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm just flowing here. And it needs to change. Something's got to be different. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm irritated, I'm discontented or depressed. You are feeling gray or even darker than that. And you can recite the prayer to change the polarity of your heart. You can recite this prayer, now I'm talking verbatim, to change that polarity. How do you get jogged out of that rut you're in? It's one thing to acknowledge you're not in the place where your heart ought to be. It's another to get out of it. And I'm going to suggest at least one way, spiritual discipline here, just start reciting the prayer. Just start reciting the memorized Lord's Prayer. You're negative. You need to get turned around. This is where you're glad you memorized the prayer. It's when you can't muster enough of a thought to pray your own extemporaneous prayer, right? There would be nothing wrong at all to say, dear Heavenly Father, right now I'm really down. I'm discouraged, and you just pour out your heart to Him. But am I wrong? Sometimes you're just in a place where you just can't get the words. You can't get around. You can't even maybe identify why you're angry or frustrated or jealous or envious. You know, all of these, I don't know where this came from. What can you do when you can't put together the words that express your heart? You can start. You can start by saying something familiar, something the Lord has given us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. At least twice, just this past week, I found myself in that exact position. You're being tempted. You're losing time to you're frittering away stuff. And why am I? I'm just so scattered. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. It pulls you back. It centers you. And it gives you a heart open to what God might want to do. You can, even in your most confused spiritual moment, you can mumble the Lord's Prayer. And when you do, you will capture an otherwise wasted moment. You'll get out of a mental rut. You'll flee temptation. And gradually, your heart will be formed as you pray it more and more. Again, you're speaking the values, the priorities that Jesus Christ has given us. And your heart will be formed to those things. Now, I'm sure that you have heard that the key to having prayers answered is to pray according to God's will. And if you're like me, that's a bit frustrating at times, and I certainly don't like preachers telling me that's what the key is. Well, if you would just pray the Lord's will and you have your answer, I know that, right? How do I pray according to the Lord's will? Often, I don't know if what I want is what the Lord wants. I honestly don't know. I'm ready to submit that. I'm ready to hold to that that condition, but I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's will is in a particular situation. Here's the third use. Use the Lord's Prayer as a template to discover how to pray more effectively. Use the Lord's Prayer as a template. You know what a template is? It's in your word processing program. It lays out the content and the form for you, right? I'm sitting here and all I got is a blank screen. I need to do a resume. I have no idea what a resume looks like. Find the resume template, and up pops all of this gibberish, but it's in the right form, in the right format, and all you have to do is type here. That's what it says. Type here. You fill it in, right? I don't know how to write a business letter. I can't even get started. I don't know what it ought to look like. Template, business letter. There it is. It appears, and you just fill it in. Type here. Well, I think we can use this prayer legitimately, according to Christ's instructions, pray then like this, not only praying the prayer, but pray like this. We can use these categories as a template to lay our own prayers into, and thus we can begin to form our prayer life into the priorities and the things that God wants, and we can be tutored. We can discover how to pray more effectively. Chip Bell, Fellowship Bible Church in Dallas, I think he nailed it as far as these categories go, all right? I think we've got a slide for that. You want to toss those up? These categories, honor God's purpose. You tell me how that fits. You know the Lord's Prayer. Honor God's person. What are the words? Hallowed be your name. Invite God's program. Oh, the first one, your kingdom come. I'm sorry, I'm just throwing this on you. Your kingdom come, and then obey God's purpose. Your will be done. Ask for God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Seek God's pardon. Forgive us our debts. And then finally, plead for God's protection. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Isn't that wonderful? All right, Jesus prayed in certain ways, and we can use his words verbatim. We can recite it, especially when we can't think of words of our own. But there's also another way when we can do this, when we use it as a template, and we say, okay, here's what I'm praying. I want to honor God's purpose, our person. Lord, today I am thrilled with your creativity. Today I am marveling at your ability in the works of creation. That's not in the Lord's Prayer. But it is in accordance with hallowed be your name, is it not? So you honor God's person. You praise him. You glorify him. And you use the prayer as a type here. type here, right? You're thinking mentally through the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. What is it that's on my heart to sing God's praises about today? Here's another wonderful thing about using this prayer as a template. If you, like me, and you struggle and you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it today. This is today I'm really going to pray it up. All right? Hallowed be your name. Heavenly Father, I want to praise you for your sovereignty this morning, and I need to get more sleep, and I wonder when that thing is due for the work I'm supposed to be doing at. I can't get to that yard. I can never get to that. And you just start wandering off, right? Okay, it's just me, but let me tell you a story about me. My mind starts to wander a little bit when I pray, but when you're working off of this template, and you started with hallowed be your name, and you find yourself wandering, what do? Your kingdom come. You got something to pull you back and go, oh yeah, I was praying to God. And probably your kingdom is not the leaves in the gutter. Probably it's bigger than that. Heavenly Father, I do recognize your sovereignty, and I want your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reign over. And he pulls you back. And you pray, and then you wander off, and you get pulled back again because you've got an outline. You've got a template that can help you keep going and pray in the fashion that you would like to pray. Let me encourage one other thing you might consider. You might want to make a prayer diary this year. You might want to make a prayer diary. You can use the cheapest little spiral-bound notebook. And you might want to just write at the top of this the categories that I've just given you there. You might want to just write on top of every page. Here we go. January 9, honor God's person. And you just put them up there in the corner. So that when you sit down to pray, you date the day, and you've got that little template right up there, and you just follow along, and you make some notes, you add some verses, you say, honor God's person, hallowed be your name, and you run across in your Bible reading a praise verse. You just jot it down there. That goes right in there. And you might just keep a prayer diary in that sort of a fashion. You could add personal or immediate requests. Give us this day our daily bread. And you know what? I know what my kids are going through. Give Joel and Tyler their daily bread. I know they really need some help with it. Give Phil and Katie their daily bread. I know a circumstances that they're in right now and they need provision. Right? They need provision. That's the big category. And you just fill them in right into the category that they belong to. That might help you. Then you come down to a little bit farther and you pray, you plead for God's protection and you go, oh, that's right. I hadn't even thought about that. I don't even think about in those terms. But you know what, Heavenly Father? You know what, Jesus? Now that you mention it, lead us not into temptation. I am aware of a temptation in my life right now. Steer me out of this mess. Get me out of here, lest I fail. Boom. Suddenly, you're praying through the Lord's Prayer. You're praying through the categories of the Lord's Prayer. You're praying like Jesus taught you. You're praying exactly like Jesus taught you to pray. The fourth and final use, I suggest perhaps asking, what's there in latent form? All right? What's there in latent form? What thoughts do these words prompt? Now we're going a little bit farther even than a template. It's just like, what ideas, what is inspired in me to pray? For example, I'm praying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Barely a petition in this prayer, is it? It's more of a declaration of praise, but it's prompted me in my meditation, hallowed be your name. And the first thing I think is, Our Father, not my Father. Oh, yeah, Jesus taught us to pray Our Father, and I can pray for Converge Church right here. It's not just my Father. I can pray for Our Father. I can pray for Converge Church. I can pray for the church in Ananyev or Takui. I'm thinking, oh, not just my Father, Our Father. Who is it? Who are my brothers and sisters that I would like to sweep up into this prayer with me? And you're launching off of this prayer, right? It's suggesting things to you that inspire you beyond even the categories. Beyond even the categories that are there. Hallowed be your name. God, may you be revered. Oh. May God's name be revered. I can pray for the spread of the gospel in this place. I can pray for the spread of God can be revered even in the places he is not honored at all. Like in the heart of my prodigal child. or in the palace of Kim Jong-un. I can pray for the world even when I pray, hallowed be your name. Use it as a launch pad. That's the fourth and final use. Use it as a launch pad. As you meditate, take the actual words of Jesus, think broader through categories, and then come back to the individual elements and think, well, what else does that inspire me to pray? There's so many ways. You do understand, right? I know you. I don't have to say, I'm going to say it anyway. These are just four ways. These are not the four inspired ways. You might find other ways to use the Lord's Prayer, and they're good. And they're good. There are four ways that the Lord's Prayer has served me specifically in my spiritual life. Please pray. Please, please pray. You need prayer. I was thinking about this the other day because I heard someone use that phrase, self-care. I don't know quite much what to think about that phrase, self-care. I think it can be very useful. It could also be abused, I think. But you know what it made me think? Self-prayer. Self-prayer. And it convicted me a little. I thought, wow, I pray all the time. I don't very often pray for myself. What in the world? Self-prayer. That should be the obvious. Let's start there. I need to pray for myself. And the Lord's Prayer leads me to do that. Please pray. When your prayer, without prayer, you have blessings unclaimed. Got checks that you've never cashed. You've got $50 bills squirreled away in the pockets of your jeans up in the closet where you're about to throw them out and give them away to good. You got stuff that you're not taking advantage of if you don't pray. Without prayer, you endure heartaches that are unnecessary. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. Without prayer, you will experience heartaches and headaches, backaches that are not necessary simply because you didn't avail yourself to what God offered. Let's pray. Please pray. You know what? Not only you pray, your family needs prayer. Your family needs you to be a praying person. Don't leave them exposed without your prayers. Your church needs prayer. Your church really needs prayer. We need to have that room back there on every other Sunday, just filling up, whether you can get here on time or come in late, whatever the case may be, just walking in, and I know my church needs prayer. Your country, the world, they need prayer. The fact that Jesus honored the disciples' desire to be taught indicates that we can pray better, right? Teach us to pray, Lord. And he didn't say, doesn't matter, pray however you want. No, he said, well, pray like this so we can be taught, we can develop skill, we can get better at it, we can become master prayers. But I want to say here at the very end of this, I want to say, God hears your every prayer. I don't want you to get caught up in, wow, that Friesen, he went on for like 7 weeks on that prayer series, and he picked apart every word Jesus says. This prayer thing is complicated. I want you to come away to just thinking, pray. Pray. It's simple. I want you to come away thinking, pray, because God hears every prayer. He's just that generous. God responds to the inarticulate cries of your heart. The Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf when all you can do is look up. Jesus made it simple. How many other prayers in the Bible have you memorized? There's lots of prayers in the Bible. It's a fascinating study, especially Apostle Paul's prayers for the churches. Do it. Look. This is the one that's easy to memorize. Jesus made it simple. We started this series talking about how Jesus, in his contrast, was saying, don't pray the show prayers of the temple. Don't pray the mechanical prayers of pagans. More than ever, as I come to the end of this, I believe that the chief element of what Jesus was teaching his disciples was just this: make simple requests to a Heavenly Father who will hear them. It's exactly the opposite of complicated. You can learn, but it's exactly the opposite of the complicated. It's just what he prayed, how he prayed in contrast to the temple prayers of his day, and how he prayed in contrast to the pagan prayers that he mentioned was just this. I just ask. And he gave us more, of course. I just ask. And that's the way I need to leave you this morning. As we pray this coming year, as we make it an intention, as we discipline ourselves, as your Spirit reminds us in a quiet moment in our heart, as your Spirit prompts us in a very busy time, commotion in our heart, in every moment, may we listen to the Holy Spirit prompting, and may our Father, your name be hallowed. We pray in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen.